Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. We are so blessed today to be joined by Susan Tassone. She is the author of this week's book, Saint Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. And before we start, usually before we go live, I want to pray with my guest. And we used to pray every morning on the show, but we're... Today we just got so involved in our conversation. As you could probably tell, we went live while we were still chatting because there's just so much to be said here with Susan. Just going to ask just quickly and with all my heart for the Holy Spirit just to come down and grace us and bless us during this time together with Susan. Just open up our hearts and our minds to whatever the Lord has for us in this hour about the holy souls and all of the blessings that come from all of the beautiful gifts he gives us from heaven. And we ask all of these things through your most precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And now, without further ado, I invite to the show Susan Tassone. Susan, welcome to A Seeking
Thank
Heart.
Thank you, Allison. It's a pleasure to be with you, and a blessed Easter season. Easter is a joyous time because it's, you know, most important part of our faith, the Lord rose, but it also is the second Christmas. Most souls are released at Christmas. The next greatest number of souls are released at Easter. So this is a joyous time for those souls in purgatory. Hopefully people were including them in their sacrifices during Lent. So we pushed them over the wall for Easter.
So I'm just curious, why Christmas? Why is Christmas such a special?
The birth of our Lord. Just like the birth and the resurrection are too important, you know, biggies in our faith. So it's that simple. After Christmas and Easter, then the next greatest number of souls are Our Lady's feast days and Our Lord's feast days.
And how do we have the info? How do we know that? What's the basis?
From the writings of the church, revelations from the saints, apologists. I just extensive research that I do, and of course I speak with theologians and priests to confirm what I've read, and that's where it comes from. You know, church fathers, church history, scripture, theologians. But Easter and Christmas came from Teresa of Avila and Saint Alphonsus Liguori and another saint. I can't think off the top of my head. It was revealed to them. Those were the days when most souls are released. Now, this is not approved, Allison. This apparition is not approved, but Medjugorje, Our Lady, confirmed it in her apparitions to the visionaries in Medjugorje, that current apparition that's taking place. She, too, confirmed it is Christmas when most souls are released from purgatory. Mm. But I don't, you know, I don't cite that. I cite the saints in this particular, with this particular question. But everything else, you know, the doctrine and the fire, it's from a range of scripture, of apologists, of the doctors of the church, and I cite that all in my book, where this all comes from. Of course, and I've got my good buddy, Father Mitch Pacwa, who makes sure that I stay in my purgatory lane, and nothing is not said that doesn't have an imprimatur or Neil Obstadt on it.
Yes. I love that. In my purgatory lane, we're talking this morning with Susan Tassone. She's the author of Saint Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. And this is from Our Sunday Visitor. And this week, I gave her lots of credit, which is what she was talking about when we went live, that I gave her credit for 19 books. Maybe I'm just, you know, being prophetic here a little bit, but it's 9 books. And are they all on purgatory?
Yes, they are, Allison. There hasn't been much written after, after Vatican II, and it was all inspiration, light. It definitely is providential, and every one of those books teaches you about purgatory and what we need to do to help them. Every one of them. Every one of them has a Neil Obstadt. Cardinal George was a great promoter of my work. In fact, I worked for him for 6 years at the missions office in Chicago, and he loved purgatory. He loved the works, and he did quite a few of the forewords. I've got Cardinal Diaz in Rome, and it's really an honor to have these bishops and cardinals and priests, Mitch Pacwa Father Apostoli, Father Dan Kammer from the Marian Helpers, supporting my work and backing it up and confirming things when I'm doing a lot of research.
So if someone's not familiar with the term Neil Obstetrics, can you just quickly tell us what that means?
It basically means that there's nothing wrong that goes against the church doctrine, church, mm-hmm. church. In fact, I could let's even see here what it says here. Yeah, let's just read it. The Neil Obstetrics and the imprimatur are official declarations that a book is free from doctrinal or moral error.
Mm-hmm. And that's really important because we want to make sure
critical,
that we're being, yeah.
I mean,
make sure we're being guided.
There might be, material out there, Allison, that doesn't have it, and I don't use it. And of course, the books that I've written, every single one has them, and it's serious, Allison. When they do a Neil Obstetrics, it goes to a canon lawyer, and you don't know who it is, but a canon lawyer, and they literally read word for word, literally. And it takes about 6 weeks for them to study your book.
Wow.
And I remember one book, the word the was not used properly. That's how scrutinizing they read my books. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know it's pretty serious. You got canon lawyers reading it, and then you've got theologians at our Sunday Visitor, then you've got Father Mitch always takes a look at it, Father Mitch Paco from EWTN. Mm-hmm. You want to be absolutely sure that what you're saying is correct, and you don't mislead anyone, and it's not your opinion.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about something as important as the teaching on purgatory, which people just already have so many different thoughts about, and there's
right.
so many people who try to discredit it. How did you get into the purgatory business?
The purgatory business, I wasn't out there looking for it. I was in the corporate world. I had a great job. I worked with great CEOs and chairmen. What I did, I was in philanthropy, and I absolutely loved it. I was promoting a good cause, and I was also a high school teacher as well. So it went back, I taught theology, when I got out of college from Loyola. I have a master's in theology and religious ed.
Uh-huh.
And
yep.
So it's always been there, I have to say this, I won't deny it, Allison. I had gone to Medjugorje. Now, I was not going, I was just going because I had a devotion to Our Lady. And I came back, and I had a leg injury. I was hit by a cab head-on, almost died, on August 11th, which is the Feast of St. Susanna. And come back, and I find from the leg injury that I had sustained for 12 years, it was gone. It was gone.
Wow.
I didn't go to for a cure. I went because of the bond that my mother planted in our young hearts. There were seven of us. She planted in our young hearts the devotions, purgatory devotions. Pilgrim Virgin was in the house. We played Mass when we were kids. First Fridays, first Saturdays, the Rosary, the Last Supper was on the wall. All those reminders were there. She just planted the seed. And so the devotion to Our Lady was very strong in our family, especially to the Rosary.
Yes.
So I was going to this, it's not a shrine, because I heard about it and I just wanted to greet her. And I come back with this leg cured, and they waited 3 years before they would document it. And I flew back with the papers. I'm one of the registered cases there. And somebody handed me a book on purgatory, and I just read it, a little tiny booklet, and I was impressed, how they become your best friends, and they repay you 10,000 times, and I thought, I could use other friends I could get, and I thought, I'll help them out, and I collected some Mass stipends, because what they need most, Allison, is the Mass. Mm-hmm. They need the
yes.
body and blood of Jesus. That's the number one chief means to help them be relieved or released from purgatory, and it's throughout all my books, stories, revelations, is the church and the catechism, it's all there. I was just fascinated by the stories, and I thought, let me help out, and I started to collect Mass stipends. And I had some money, and I had actually started at the office, which I wouldn't recommend anybody doing. I could have gotten released myself, not in the purgatory way. I could have been a purgatory for me, but people were so hungry, I discovered, because I had just come back from Edge. People in the office knew I was going, and I was a minority. I was one of the very few Catholics there. And I was telling him about purgatory and what happened in Medjugorje, and purgatory came in after this little booklet, and they were giving me mass stipends for their loved ones. Well, they're not even Catholic. And I figured out the reason was they were hungry for God, Allison. They're looking mm-hmm. for someone, something to hang their hat on. And so I collected mass stipends and went over to the missions office in Chicago and gave the nun some these stipends. And I said, give me as many masses for the souls as you can. And she looked at me very strange, and I thought, I didn't know why she looked at me so strange. I just wanted to give her the money and leave because it was the holidays. And I said, is there something wrong? And she was in shock because she had just come off a meeting. You know, Cardinal George is the chairman of the missions office. He's the chair. And he was telling her he gets hundreds and hundreds of letters from missionaries all over the world begging for mass stipends. And she needed to find a way to get more mass stipends. And I walk in the door telling her what happened to me and handed her over $700. And she was stunned. So we became very good friends. And I asked her a question, which I was kind of not sure I wanted to say. I said, well, if you need any help, and because I'm in fundraising, I thought that's the last thing I need to do is more fundraising, you know, for a cause. But I just said, you know, she said, here, and she gave me pink envelopes. And then so I was reading about purgatory, and Joan McHugh, who's another author.
Susan, I'm going to have to interrupt you there for just a moment. We'll have to pick up with that on the other side of this commercial. Just so many fascinating things. We're talking today with Susan Tassone. We're talking about the holy souls in purgatory. Just such an amazing devotion. I have this devotion myself. I've had it for years, and I was so blessed to be introduced to Susan and get to read her books and to see just this great gift that we have to help those that we love and even those we don't know. We'll be back after these messages. We're talking again with Susan Tassone, and you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are joined today by the delightful author of St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, out now from our Sunday visitor, Susan Tassone. And Susan, did I say it wrong?
No, you've been doing very good. Sounds very Irish. No, I'm kidding. It's very Italian.
Well, I have to confess that I went on to YouTube, and I know you make frequent visits to EWTN, and I listened to a few of the hosts say it over and over and over again. I don't always get that.
I'm not one to call myself the Purgatory Lady. That wasn't from me. I would have never done that. But that title that I now bear with my eyes rolled, it comes from Father Anthony from EWTN. Time I visit EWTN, he would shout out, "Hey, Purgatory Lady," and I would just chuckle. Well, then it got to Doug Keck, and it got to Jeanette Bankovic, and it just started to spread, and that's how I was dubbed Purgatory Lady.
That's pretty funny.
I would probably dub myself Wonder Woman. Well, he did that already, too. Father Anthony was on the air again promoting the book. He loved it. He says she's Wonder Woman. And, in fact, as a teacher, we did a faculty play, and I was dressed as Wonder Woman. I loved Wonder Woman when I was younger.
Oh, that's funny. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, I want you to finish up your story that we left off with in segment one. But last night, my husband's in the diaconate formation program. I call it Deacon School. And last night in Deacon School, we were actually talking about being on the front lines, you know, being faithful at work, sharing your faith in a very authentic way. And as you were telling your story about being in the workplace and asking or just kind of making it available, letting people know that masses can be said for loved ones and that you were willing to collect that money in order to have those masses said. And I just want to also be clear with people that, you know, sometimes the things in our Catholic faith look like, oh, it's all about, you know, getting money to the church. And, you know, you can, if you don't have money for a mass, I don't know a priest out there who won't say one for your loved one without a stipend. The stipends are just a way of blessing the church forward, just blessing what they're doing for you and for your loved one.
The mass stipend supports the priests in their work and their ministries. And also, if you can't afford a mass stipend, offer your mass. You don't have to have a mass stipend. You could offer, many people, I wonder how many people go to mass and don't say, this mass is for my sister or my brother, living or deceased. My communion is for, well, you can offer your communion, for the souls in purgatory or somebody living, and your indulgence. So you've got a lot to offer, you know, from the mass without having to have a mass stipend if you're not financially, you know, if you don't have the means to do that.
Well, I'd love to talk a little bit more. This also came up last night in Deacon School, is that people don't realize that when they go to Mass, when they're attending Mass, that, yes, there's always an intention for the Mass that the priest is offering.
Yes,
but
right.
We ourselves have that ability because we, too, are priest, prophet, and king.
Exactly. That's what you're offering. You're offering your communion. You're offering your Mass. You're offering your indulgence. For your intention. Of course, me being who I am, everything goes to the souls in purgatory. What I say to them, I'll take care of you. You take care of my family. You know, you take care of the dailies, I call them. People say, do you get visions and do you see things? Well, there were some things that happened early on with Mother Angelica, but I don't need visions. I scare you easily. I just get me through the day, you know, and help my niece that might be struggling, or the baby that's sick, or I lost my keys, you know, or wake me up at 4 a.m, whatever.
Well, that's kind of interesting to talk about waking you up. So yesterday, I'm preparing for the show. I don't know if I shared this or not on air, but yesterday I'm preparing for the show, and I'm reading your book. Again, the book is St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. My guest today, Susan Tassone. And as I'm praying it, ask the Holy Souls, my great posse in heaven, my intercessors, my army, I think you called them to me once, army of intercessors. I said, you know, I started to pray for my family. Please take care of my sons. Well, within seconds, I realize it's 6:55 in the morning, and my son has to be at work at 7, which is about 3 minutes away. Usually, when I wake him up, there's a fight, or he's 20, or he'll roll over. He's not a morning person. Yesterday, truly, a miraculous intercession from the Holy Souls. He woke right up. He got himself ready, brushed his teeth, and he was only about 2 minutes late for work, which is acceptable for his employer. It was unbelievable.
They're extraordinarily powerful, and we're talking about, you know, who are these people? These are the people that were in the fabric of our lives, Allison. Mm-hmm. These are your great-great-great-great-grandparents. These are your cousins, your aunts, your uncles. These are the, you know, the priests that baptized you, the people that have died, in your lifetime as well. They're not some third party. And in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 958, it says that the more you, and it's in my books, the more you pray for them, the more powerful their intercession is for you. The more you pray for them, the more powerful their intercession is for you. There's a lot of spiritual benefits. They're concerned about our salvation, especially your deceased loved ones. Their prayers help you recognize your faults so you can understand the ugliness of sin. And they have a tremendous resolve, Allison, in assisting us to become holy, meaning to do the will of God in the present moment. When you do the will of God in the present moment, and you know, that's what takes you to heaven. That's how you avoid purgatory. Main way to avoid purgatory is doing the will of God. So if we need to submit ourselves to their influence so we can avoid purgatory. And I always say, what's the with them? It's a corporate term, Allison. With them, what's in it for me? The souls have a special commitment to us, especially our loved ones, our deceased loved ones, because of two benefits, Allison. By your prayers, your sacrifices, and your joys, and your masses, and your rosaries, and your communions, and your stations, and your adoration, they enter heaven sooner. And number two, that the tremendous suffering, you are delivering them from this tremendous suffering. And what we're giving them, Allison, is the beatific vision. We're giving them God, and they show their gratitude in proportion to the greatness of their enjoyment. They show their gratitude in proportion to the greatness of their enjoyment, which would be infinite because they're with God. You gave them God.
And I have to say, like, I don't even remember how I started this devotion. I think actually it came through the iPieta, the Pieta book, which is now on my phone, now called the iPieta. And it was that devotion from November 1st through the 8th, that very special.
The indulgence.
That, I'm sorry, go again.
November 1st to the 8th is a special indulgence.
Yes.
That you give to the souls in purgatory. Go ahead.
And I found that in there, and I think someone had just passed away that I loved, so I decided that I would do that one for them. Then the next year, I got kind of creative, and I decided, well, that was fun praying in that one cemetery. Imagine now if every single day I went to Mass and then went to a different cemetery, and I was homeschooling at the time, and I turned it into a field trip.
I love it. Outstanding.
Me and my children, we went from cemetery to cemetery, and we just prayed the prayer that was in there and just offered that week for the souls. And I think after that, I just felt that grace that just I couldn't explain. And I knew that this had to be part of my everyday prayer life. It just couldn't be 8 days. It had to be every day.
And Allison, you're hitting on something very critical. You took the children. You brought the children. You taught them how to pray for the deceased loved ones. You show them how to sprinkle holy water on the grave. You teach them the eternal rest prayer. And what you're doing is you're planting the seeds in their young hearts so when your time comes to be called home, they'll know what to do, Allison. So we need Praise to God. Teach the children. And if we don't, they become godless.
It's very true. I mean, even I've been talking a lot about that here on A Seeking Heart, is that I brought the faith to my children, and I share it out loud as much as I can. And even with this world that we're in, even they are drawn. One of my sons has been drawn away, but I have not lost hope and I have not lost faith. And one of the things that we were talking about before the show started, and again, I've shared that on air, talking today with Susan Tassone, the author of St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, our Sunday visitor, was the power of fasting for my children. So asking all my grandparents, especially my grandmoms, my great-grandmoms who are passed on, very faithful women, to pray for my children and to help them stay faithful. We also offered fasting. And I saw that fasting was also a great part of your St. Faustina book.
It was, I'll tell you why. Faustina fasted exhaustively before she even became a nun. So that was part of her spiritual life is to fast. And in the I try to emulate her. Her favorite devotion was the Stations of the Cross. Of course, I've been praying the Stations for many years because of the indulgences that are attached. And we have a book, The Way of the Cross for the Holy Souls. But fasting, piqued my interest. So I began to fast as well to join her. And in the book, Allison, I found incredible benefits of fasting. It's physical, which is extraordinarily powerful with it having to do. We have cholesterol problems in our family. Mine dropped like 20 points.
Wow.
Your weight, your skin, everything physically. But to me, more important was the spiritual benefits. It opens your hearts to conversion. It gives weight to your prayers. It strengthens in resisting temptations. It promotes peace in your heart and peace with one another. It teaches you the difference between wanting and needing. It puts you in line with those that are poor, who are perpetually hungry. So there's about 15 benefits on fasting, and that's why I did it. And we have a great fasting prayer. And I quote Live the Fast as well. I like that organization. If you want to fast, they have wonderful breads. But yeah, she was great. Jesus fasted. The apostles fasted. It goes back to the Old Testament. It was part of their culture.
I've shared before that I fasted for my son, even though he's now gone a little wayward. I keep fasting, my husband and I together, and we keep praying, and we got that from St. Monica, who was also a great faster. We're talking today with Susan Tassone, the author of St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. We're going to go to commercial, and we come back. We're going to pick up with more with Susan. If you'd like to join our conversation, we invite you on at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are joined this morning by author Susan Tassone. Her book, St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, was my inspiration for Wednesday and Thursday's conversation. And today we're having our conversation with her, Susan Tassone. And if you'd like to join it, we invite you on at 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. That's 573-4-BREAD-4. And before I have any more questions, I've got tons, I just want to remind you that we have a giveaway this week. You can enter it on Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page or over at ReconciledToYou.com. And today, this week, we're giving away The Way from St. Maria Jose Escriva. That one is being given by Debbie Gaudino from saints365.blogspot.com as her and I continue our 14-day heroic minute challenge. I have two of Susan's wonderful books. I have this one, St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, as well as Praying with Saints for Holy Souls in Purgatory. I'm giving those away. And last but not least, I have my 54-day Rosary Novena booklet and the rosary that I prayed on in November. I shared that story this week. And if you want to know more, you can send me always an email over at info@reconciledtoyou.com. Now, Susan, I have a really important question. Why write this particular book?
Good question, Allison, but let me just sidetrack just a little bit, just to wrap up that story of how I got started. As I said, I was collecting mass stipends, and another author invited me to come to speak on purgatory in her home. So I actually took the day off and did some research on purgatory, and that was in 1994, I think, and it's never ended. So I just wanted to finish up that, you know, how did that? So I've been speaking since 1993, and again, God took the. I just went along with it, and it just grew, and I just got a deeper devotion, and I just came attached to them. But to answer your question, why Faustina? Well, I knew all along she had a great and very tender devotion for the souls in purgatory, Allison. In fact, I learned that she's the most Googled saint. Faustina is the most Googled saint on the internet.
Really?
Yes.
That's an interesting fact.
According to Catholic marketing statistics, Faustina is the most in-demand saint rated by Amazon for 2014 and 2015. So here we have the most Googled saint on the internet, but people have no book to learn about her insights or her revelations or her prayers on purgatory. So this is the only book that invites us to learn about Faustina and her relationship with them and how she related to them and what they wanted from her. In addition, the book introduces the reader to an aspect of divine mercy that not is well known to most of us. One of the examples that I included was I pulled out everything on purgatory she said, and Allison, there was about 12 revelations that she had with the souls in purgatory. So I put them in a kind of a novena format. The novena is what, 9 days, so this was 12 days. So I just called it Purgatory in the Eyes of Faustina. 12 days of meditations. And what I learned when I read them literally all together was there were certain things that they were telling her, Allison. They were telling her what makes them happy. And what makes them happy is for them doing the will of God, which is, you know, being in purgatory, and also for us to do the will of God. And it's the same thing again. It's the main way to avoid purgatory. They also told her what their greatest torment was. When it's in all my books, the greatest torment of a soul in purgatory is longing for God. The soul saw God, and it's all its beauty, and how God, you know, had their life planned out, and the graces. They saw how good God is and how lovable He is, and now they're unable to be with Him. And so they cry out, God, God, I must be with God. They also told her what they need us to do. And it's the same story. They need the masses. They need fasting. They need the eternal rest prayer. Why the eternal rest prayer? Because it's indulgenced. And it's one of the official prayers of the church. They also Susan, share what... Go ahead. You sound like you have a question.
I have a caller... I had a caller on the line. Oh, maybe Gail will call back and we can get her.
I'm here.
Oh, Gail, there you are. Susan, do we still have you?
Hello.
Oh, I
Allison,
think we lost.
I'm here.
Okay, so we have Susan, and do we have Gail?
Should have both.
Gail?
It keeps going out.
Okay. All right. Gail, I'd love to know what your question is for Susan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I remember seeing her briefly once a couple of years ago, and she was talking about her brother and Gregorian Masses. And sometimes I ask some priests about the Gregorian Masses, and some have never heard of it. And I remember you saying something about your brother appearing to you. I can't remember the story, but it really helped me when I lost my brother. I was wondering if you could tell me that story again.
Sure. Well, first of all, Gregorian Masses have been around for a long time, back to Pope St. Gregory. He's the one that popularized Gregorian Masses. He had Masses offered for a monk in his monastery. The monastery is still there today. And in one of my books, you can even see the altar where he had these Masses offered. He ordered to have 30 Masses offered. Why 30, Allison? Why not 50 or 60? 30 goes back to the Old Testament, where Jacob and Moses and Aaron were mourned for 30 days. So he was bringing back that tradition. They're named Gregorian Masses. They're named after him. And after the 30th Mass, justice appeared to his blood brother Copiosus, and he told his blood brother that he was released from purgatory at the 30th Mass. Now, the $64,000 question is, are you released from purgatory after the 30th Mass? The Church does not confirm that. Mm-hmm. They don't confirm that. What they do point to is the efficacy of the Masses. So put Gregorian Masses in your will. I talk about this on every show. I've done over almost 30 shows on EWTN. The Pious Union of St. Joseph is who we promote on EWTN. Go there, put these in your will, have them offered through them, because you're helping some of the most destitute priests that need Mass stipends. As far as my brother, yes, we had, you know, he died a sudden death. And, you know, when you're not prepared, I don't know if you go straight up. He hadn't gotten the sacraments. So we had Gregorian Masses set for him. And we had several sets, actually. And I had just an encounter, you know, with him. And many people do in their dreams or through some other person. And then in a dream, I saw him. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he smiled. And I said, "Do you need help?" And his head dropped. And I knew he needed more Masses. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, when we had more sets of Gregorian Masses for him. Mm-hmm. So that was a special grace from God. You can ask God for that. It's up to God to allow a soul to come to you. Of course, in Rome, there's a Purgatory Museum where souls had visited friends, relatives, and fellow religious and priests. Again, why? They needed the Mass.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail, so much for calling in today.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
So thank you, Susan. Thank you for letting me interrupt you so we could get Gail on. I love it when people are able to get in and ask their questions so they're not wondering. So we're talking about Saint Faustina, who happens to be one of my favorite saints. I'm actually, as we're talking today, I have one of her little, someone made me a peg doll of Saint Faustina. Her and I are buddies. And so you were talking about Our Lady was teaching, or how Faustina used the teachings from Our Lady to learn virtues.
Yes, you know, we have our book is divided into six sections, and of course, Our Lady, she had a very intimate and tender relationship with Our Lady, Allison. Faustina understood that to love Jesus, we must have a sincere love for his mother. Our Lord told her, again, in the diary, it's all in my book, pray with all your heart in union with Mary. And Faustina said to her, said that the more I imitate the Mother of God, the more deeply I get to know God. So the lesson is stay close to Mama Mary to fulfill the will of God. She's a powerful intercessor for the souls in purgatory. And she shared with Faustina that three virtues that were dearest to her and to God. And those three virtues are humility, purity, and love of God. And she said that we have to radiate these virtues throughout life. When you don't radiate these virtues, that's when you do time in purgatory. I have some examples of each of those if you want me to share
what I would love
humility looks like. And it's just a neat story that I shared with Father Mitch on EWTN. He loves popes. There was a Pope Pius X. His private secretary was offering Mass one day. And his name was Cardinal Mary Duval. And Cardinal Duval realized that there was no altar boy. So he proceeded to get ready. And he turns around, Allison, and he sees Pius X dressed in the altar boy garb, kneeling, and said to him, from that point on, he was going to serve him as his altar boy.
And oh, my goodness.
The altar boy motto is, to reign is to serve.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
It's a good example of humility, Allison.
Very. Wow. I don't know many altar boys who actually feel that they're that humble in their service. That's pretty amazing. We're talking today with author Susan Tassone, her book, St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. And actually, we're going to go to another break. I can't believe how fast this morning's conversation with Susan is going. Just so many wonderful things. I was actually thinking myself that even my days of talking about this book for such a little book, it's so power-packed with information. I was thinking, I didn't even get through half of what I wanted to talk about. So you know what that means. Whenever I don't get through a book on air, I always blog about it. So you go to reconciledtoyou.com, follow the blog, subscribe, and you'll be able to get lots more on this wonderful book. But hey, we still have one more segment, so don't go anywhere. We're talking with Susan Tassone, and you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We are joined today by the very informative and completely delightful Susan Tassone. She is sharing with us thoughts on her book, St. Faustina, Prayer Book. Yeah, that's the right word. I'm reading it. It just didn't make sense. St. Faustina, Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory, out now from our Sunday visitor. Such an incredible book. There's novenas in here. There are prayers. You can learn about fasting and the benefits of that. And I loved the section on our Blessed Mother. Mary is... I never had a relationship with my own mother, and it took me a really long time to understand how Mary fit into my faith and how important she really was to my faith, and was able to do a consecration a few years ago to Jesus through Mary. So blessed. And I loved that this was important to Faustina. And you also talked about the Holy Souls, and of course she's very important to them. Why do they refer to her as the Star of the Sea?
Oh, very interesting. I would ask that question myself. The Star of the Sea, Allison, is one of her titles. And I discovered that navigators use Polaris, the North Star, to guide them because it holds a fixed position in the sky. Mary guides us to Jesus. She's like the steering star, and that's why they call her the Star of the Sea. She is the steering star to Jesus. And on the cover of my book, it's an actual icon, a painted icon. You can see the star on the top of her veil. But she's that fixed position. She's that steering star that guides us to her son.
And she sure does. And
she's quite a mama. That's the girlfriend you want to have.
Without a doubt. So
I mean, I take her shopping with me, Allison. I know that sounds crazy. When I got the honor of seeing Pope Paul, St. John Paul II, I just said, you got to help me find something. And I wanted to make it modest and not expensive. And there she was. I like to shop, and she's got good taste, Allison.
She does. She helps me not overspend. I have to bring her for that.
Yeah, she's good at that, too.
I have to bring her for that, and just to have her remind me as a sweet, loving mother that just because I see it, I can't have it. So Faustina also taught us about praying for the dead. Not just the dead, I'm sorry, for the dying.
Yes, of course, the biggest devotion that our Lord gave to Faustina was the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Allison. And, of course, that is extremely powerful. We have that in the book. She even wrote prayers for the dying. There are certain prayers that they prayed as an order. Her order prayed for the dying. But it's that Divine Mercy Chaplet where our Lord promises to be this, you know, the merciful Savior when it's prayed for at the bedside of somebody that's dying. Now, what about if you're not at the bedside of somebody that's not dying that would get this promise? We quote what she says in the book that it doesn't matter where you are. And I can attest to that, Allison. My mother was dying. She was out of state. And I was on the phone. I was there and then I had to come home. And I was on the phone with my sister. And I said, let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Well, there was dead silence in the middle of the chaplet. I thought my mother passed, and my sister said, no, the room filled up with incense, Allison.
Oh,
she thought
West goodness.
Living in a desert.
Wow.
And the incense represented, I asked the priest, she was so stunned, it was God's presence that was there, and he was acting as the merciful Savior when we were praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It's extraordinarily powerful. I quote what he tells her, you know, every which way, the power of it, and because the dying are more vulnerable, and they some of them despair, and they need the chaplet. Pray that chaplet every day.
You know, it's very interesting. When the first time I felt the kind of the nudge to do this was sitting by the bedside to my step-grandfather, who I knew me for 20-something years in my life, but I didn't have really a close relationship with him, and I didn't know where he was with the Lord. And he was one of those very tough guys who didn't want anybody to do anything for himself. And he was in a catatonic state at that point when I started to pray, and my sister and my cousin were in the room. And I said, I'm going to pray this, and I'm going to pray this out loud. Even though this is uncomfortable for me, I knew how important this was for him. And as I started to pray, I could see him getting agitated with me, trying to like almost grab the rosary beads out of my hands, and my sister and cousin were laughing. Like, he hates people doing things for him so much. He won't. I'm like, and I just said to him, I said, you will not win this battle. This is for your own good. And I just moved further away and just kept praying out loud. And I'm so glad that I had the courage, because it really took me courage. I'm not somebody, my family's not a praying family. So I just want to
not
encourage
all families
people.
Are, Allison.
Yeah.
There's always somebody designated to be the prayer warrior in your area.
Yes. And I gratefully accept that. So it's just really important to pray that. Was there anything that you learned new? I mean, with all these the studying you do, was there anything new you learned about purgatory writing this book?
Yeah, Allison, I learned that purgatory is gluten-free.
Oh, yay, I'm in.
No, I'm just kidding. On a personal level, she became a wonderful new friend, and she taught me much more about God's infinite love for us and his mercy. And my favorite quote in the book was this. She said, when I received Holy Communion, I said to him, Jesus, I thought about you so many times last night. And Jesus answered me, and I thought of you before I called you into being. And she said, Jesus, in what way were you thinking of me? And he said, in terms of admitting you to my eternal happiness. He made you, Allison, and he made all your listeners because he was thinking about you being with him for eternity. Jesus said to her, if I call creatures into being, it's the abyss of my mercy. Allison, he could call anyone into being, but he picked you and me and all your listeners, which is a tremendous grace of being born. He doesn't need us. He's self-sufficient. But because we're made in his image and likeness, we all have a spark of him in us, and he can't live without us. God never had to create you. Never. Millions of possible human beings God saw, but he created you, and he left them to remain in their nothingness. They could have been holier, they could have been smarter, they could have been far more interesting than you or I, but he didn't create them. There was something about you that attracted him to you, and that drew him to create you, and this is our faith. St. Catherine of Siena said to him, you absolutely do not need us, but you act as if you can't get by without us.
Yeah.
So that's what I learned.
Sweet.
This the love beyond, I can't even fathom it. And why
it
he
is.
Created you.
It is completely unfathomable. I think that's a great word. But just to journey with him. I don't know if you were, you said you got to listen. I don't know if you heard the story about when I was venerating St. Faustina's relic. And as I picked it up, it was just in a little, you know, little tiny reliquaries, and I was blessing myself with it. And suddenly my necklace, which is the, the cross and the
tangled up with the relic.
It was all tangled up. And I was like, yes, you can be my friend.
Those are God incidences.
Very much so. And she's just such an incredible guide and teacher. I love her diary. I kind of read it like the Bible. I don't read from cover to cover. I kind of, you know, just pray and let the Holy Spirit guide what beautiful teaching I'm going to be, let her share with me that day from our Lord. So how can we get a copy of your book? Again, we're talking today with Susan Tassone, St. Faustina Prayer Book for the Holy Souls in Purgatory. How can we get a copy of this?
You can, I always say support your local Catholic bookstore, support EWTN, and of course it's always on Amazon. And our Sunday Visitor. It's been number one, Allison, it was the number one release before it even came out. There were 6,000 pre-orders before the book was even printed. So it just says something about purgatory, the love people have for their dead, and the power and the popularity and devotion to St. Faustina. And it was just a great honor to work with her. In fact, we're going to be working on a new book, Allison. I always call my book My Children. I'm going to be with child again. This will be number 9. No, number 10. I can't count anymore, but we're going to be working on a book down the road. It'll come out next year on Faustina and the conversion of sinners. How do you pray for the conversion of sinners?
Wow. Now, you said, I don't remember if it was on air before that, Faustina is the most Googled saint?
Yeah, most Googled saint on the internet.
And she also told me something about, she's also the most
in-demand saint, according to Catholic marketing statistics. She's the most in-demand saint rated by Amazon for 2014 and 2015 in terms of books, statues, medals, holy cards, information. She's huge.
She is pretty amazing. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you, too, because you talked several times about the word indulgence.
Oh, and yes, indulgence. Yes, what's an indulgence?
That. Yes, if you could just clarify that, that'd be great. We've got 2 minutes left.
Actually,
in the
word itself comes from the Latin word indulgentia, which means to be kind or tender. That's what that's what the word really means. So what it is, let's just do it this way. You go to confession, and the guilt is removed, okay? What's left is the stain, and you have to remove the stain. And, you know, why do we have indulgences? The purpose of it is to make up for the penances that we omitted, that we've done poorly or we've done too lightly. I like the way Archbishop Fulton Sheen explains it. He said, it's like a nail in a board. Once you remove the nail, which is the sin, the guilt, with confession, the hole, which is the punishment, remains to be filled. So how is it that hole to be filled? By penance and reparation. Indulgences fill that hole on earth by fulfilling a person's need, you know, to atone for the harm they've done or caused by, you know, done themselves or to others. So
and
indulgences
I think we'll leave that,
arise
we'll
from
leave
the
it
mercy
at that because
of
we
Jesus.
Only have a minute left. Sorry, Susan, I don't want to cut you off, but we have a minute left, and I want to make sure I thank you for joining me today. Is there, do you have a website or something we can follow you?
Yes, SusanTassone.com.
SusanTassone.com. That's T-A-S-S-O-N-E. Susan, I loved St. Faustina Prayer Book, and I loved having you on today.
I say yes to both, too. Thank you. I love St. Faustina Prayer Book myself, actually, and it was a joy to be with you.
Well, I look forward to your next books and invite everybody over to SusanTassone.com to learn more. And stay tuned on next week for Dr. Tom Curran's books. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.